Welcome to Empower Talks, the podcast where empowerment takes center stage. No fancy edits, no scripted conversations, just real and authentic discussions. I'm your host, Christina. Join me and amazing guests who are generously sharing their insight to inspire and uplift. Empower Talks is more than a podcast. So join us because it's your catalyst for unleashing your inner awesome. What up, y'all? It is another episode of Empower Talks. Whew, y'all, we did it. We made it. Listen, I say it every episode, and you know I'm going to say it again. I didn't think I'd make it, but we did it. Thank you, God. I am excited. Today's episode is going to be so much fun. It really is. I'm excited about every episode, but I think every episode I get a little bit more and more excited. So this is awesome. And this episode, we are going to be talking about empowering our social workers. And I'm so excited because, you know, I may be a little biased. I don't think I am, but I may be a little biased. But our incredible special guest today is the best, the most amazing, the most wonderful, caring, kindest, beautiful, just awesome Mrs. Karen Davis. Woo-woo!
Oh, hello, everyone. Hello.
Yay! I have my homemade drums.
I love it. I love it.
I am so honored. Thank you so much for being here and for being a special guest. I am honored, truly.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. This is truly an honor for me. So thank you for thinking enough about me to invite me to your podcast.
Oh, well, I think too much. I be thinking about you too much. So we might be in trouble because, listen, for context, Mrs. Davis is not just a social worker. She happens to be the most incredible. Well, you know, let me let her tell her because I don't want to get her in trouble at school. So praise God. Let me let her tell you what her role is at school. And she don't have to say the school because, you know, we honor schools. But unless she wants, it's up to her. Go ahead, Mrs. Davis. Go ahead.
So I am a social worker at one of the middle schools in the Henderson area. And let's see, I've been there for going on 4 years. What started as a one-year job to just earn some extra money to pay for a vacation has now turned into almost 4 years. And I absolutely love it. I am very passionate about the work that I'm allowed to do with the students at the grade level, which is middle school. And listen, there's not enough that I can say about even having the opportunity to be there and work alongside so many amazing young people.
Oh, she really does. And she do a lot more than work alongside y'all. And this is why I say I think I talk to her too much because, listen, my son just happens to attend that middle school that she's at. And so, you know, y'all pray for her because she have to deal with me. Okay. Pray for her. She got to deal with me on a consistent basis. So, you know, she loves me. She put up with me. So it's good.
I absolutely do.
And I'm so honored. And a little bit about Mrs. Karen Davis. Listen, y'all, incredible, literally. Like, she has her bachelor's and master's degree in social work with a concentration in child welfare. She has literally a proven track record of working with families. She's got over 20 years of experience working with the Department of Family Service in the field of adoption, child abuse, and neglect. Like, she's literally continuing to serve her community. It's incredible. And the way and everything that she does in the schools as well, it's phenomenal. And I get to watch it firsthand. I get to see her in action. It's incredible. She is literally changing lives. And so I'm truly honored to have her here. I'm so honored.
Thank you so much.
Of course. No thanks needed. Thank you. But now, you know, I'm going to grill you because I got some questions.
I think I might be ready.
And listen, same thing as every episode, y'all. Nothing is scripted. She doesn't have any preset questions. No, so I'm excited. I gave her the warning. I said, do not say anything that you don't want out there because there's no editing. Once you say it, there's no backtracking.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I'm ready.
Woo-hoo. Well, you know, I won't be too hard on you. I mean,
okay,
a good thing, I feel like, at least to just help us in, because as we're talking about social work, and what made you want to be a social worker? Like, how has your journey helped you understand how to make people feel, you know, empowered and strong and confident?
So the most interesting thing about the story, every time I tell it, I get chills thinking about it. You know, they say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what you want to do. Well, even as a young child, I would say maybe like a teenager, around the kids' age that I'm working with now, I've always felt it to be a privilege and an honor to sit amongst the elders, and really not to talk to them, but just to gather wisdom from them. And in gathering wisdom, I guess what they were doing was basically setting me up for the path that I was going to be taking as an adult. As I got older, and one of my first jobs I had, I was working with a majority population of women, probably in their 25 to 30 and older, and I was only 18. But what I found is, on that job, literally just about every one of those women would come to me and address personal issues with me. And so one day I went home to my grandma. I said, why is it that these people that are much older than me are talking to me? And she told me, she said, because they can see the light in you.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? She's like, they see God in you. And so, interesting enough, man said I had to have a degree, but you know, if God sends you to it, he'll prepare you for it. Mm-hmm. And so, hindsight now, you know, I went to college right out of high school. Only did about a semester before I decided I just wanted to focus on work. Well, one of the bosses there at the time, she told me, she goes, I'm going to give you this job. She says, but it's only a stepping stone for you. She said, you go back to school. And I was like, but I don't really know what I want to go to school for. She goes, you know what you're supposed to go to school for. Now, I had never met this lady in terms of like telling her what I just said to you or my story or anything. And so that led me to going back to start taking classes at the junior college here in Las Vegas, CSN. And again, I really didn't know what the degree was. I just knew that at this point, I was going to school.
Yes.
So I finished at CSN with my associate's degree and transferred over to UNLV. Well, when I got to UNLV, I still was not really sure of what the title of the degree meant or what it was for that matter. And one of the first classes I took at UNLV was a social work 101 class. And what I found in that class is two things. One, I was able to like say, man, the stuff that I'm learning in here, maybe I can use that to kind of help these people that keep talking to me. But I also found it as a way to heal me from things that I had dealt with in my life. And so that's where it kind of started to go. And so as I did more research on what the field of social work really was, I was so intrigued because it had so many different facets. It allowed me to work through so many different roles, wear so many different hats, and it didn't like put me in this box. Mm-hmm. And it would allow me to just like move to different places. And so I was really, really excited about picking my bachelor's in social work. And so, of course, it didn't come easy. I was not a traditional college student. I was, at that time, I had one child. And ended up, by the time I finished school, I was married with three other children total. So total, we had four children. Working full time, going to school full time. And I don't know, if you ask me now how I did it, I couldn't tell you. I can tell you, it had to be the grace of God.
Yeah.
And because when I think about all that I had to do to get to that point, it's like, man, like, but needless to say, I continued working. Every single job I believe that I had prepared me for the next job, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I learned something that I could carry from one job to the next job. And again, like when you talk about social work, you talk about all the different opportunities that will present itself, not only in because the world says it, because again, I know that I was sent by God to go into these different places. So my first real career, I found myself working with the Department of Family Services. And one of the first jobs I had was in a sex abuse unit. And again, if you tell God what you're going to do, I know he was laughing at me because I said in grad school, I would never, ever, ever, ever work for the Department of Family Services. Ever. And that was one of the first professional jobs that I got. And so I would find myself daily saying, God, can you just check that list again and make sure my name was next to social work in this forum? And I tell you that in again, in learning and having that experience, I'm thankful for the opportunity because, again, I believe that it prepared me, not knowledge wise, but to be empathetic to people and to really put to heart that you don't judge a book by its cover because yes. you never know somebody else's story. All of those things that we say that you really never really know the meaning of it until you've actually experienced it.
Yes.
And so to be able to work with the community the way that I did and really sit down and have some heart-to-heart conversations with people that ordinarily you didn't find a social worker from the Department of Family Service would sit down and even engage in a conversation. It was, I got to do this, and whatever you're saying is really irrelevant. But to sit down and have conversations with people, because that's what they are. They're not a number. They were people. They weren't a case. They were people. And to really be able to sit down and talk with them and be able to hear their stories and really work with them on a level of we're here for you just really took social work for me to a whole nother level.
That's incredible. And it's so amazing to hear your story because social work, and I don't know if everybody even knows what a social worker does. And you know, I mean, in the easiest context of what I know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but any social worker is really a person who helps people that deal with their problem, you know, helps people deal with their problems, improve mm-hmm. their lives. You know, you can work with individuals or families and communities, and you provide support, guidance, yes. resources just to overcome challenges like poverty, abuse, mm-hmm. mental health issues, and so much more.
Yes.
And exactly. I feel like social workers, you know, you connect people with the services and resources and you advocate for their rights. You know, yes. you help them develop skills to lead healthier and more fulfilling lives. I mean, oh, it's so commendable. I love it.
All of that. Yes. All of that. Which again, is like when you tell me when someone says, what do you love most about your job? First of all, it's not a job to me. It's I'm passionate about the work that I do. And it's almost like being an evangelist. I really feel like I'm doing a lot of evangelism work in the community because it's not a job to me. I don't feel like I'm punching in and punching out because I'm so passionate about the work that I've been able to do in the community.
That is awesome. Well, speaking of, you know, work and all it entails, because social work can be tricky because it mm-hmm. deals with, you know, big problems. Mm-hmm. How do you help yourself and your colleagues in social work, you know, to deal with the tough situations and stand up for change?
The first, I would say, you know, you have to know that there are limits, right, to everything. There are limits. But most importantly, whatever you do it wholeheartedly mm-hmm. and be willing to take on the, I won't call them a challenge, but be willing to take on whatever that family or person, individual is going through at that time. And you don't have to personally take it on, but 90%, 99% to me of social work is listening. Mm. The other 1%. May come with you talking, but 99% of social work is listening. And in listening, you can tell exactly what it is that the individual needs or and how you can provide assistance. It's not so much of us trying to figure it out for them, but helping them and giving them the tools to figure it out for themselves. Because we're just there for a snippet, right?
Yeah.
But after we're gone, they have to be able to maintain and know how to get through those difficult times.
That's amazing. And I mean, you know, speaking of that, like empowerment, all of that you're doing, it's not a one size fits all concept.
No, not
so at how do you approach like tailoring your support and interventions just to meet the diverse needs of whether the individuals or the communities you serve while still, you know, promoting empowerment and autonomy?
And that's just it. You have to know your audience, if for better lack of saying, but like you said, it's not a cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. So it's not I can pull that out of the drawer and that's going to fit for this family because it fit for that family. And again, it's all about listening to what their needs are. When you talk about different cultures, when you talk about different family dynamics, all of those things, you just have to be willing to listen. And they'll tell you what it is they need if you listen. And then it's just, again, working with them to curtail how and what they need to be able to be successful.
Yes, that's incredible. Now, you know, I'm going to ask, what is the absolute funnest part of the job or of everything that you do?
You know what? The ability and the opportunity to meet people. I love people. And just being able to meet them where they are, right?
Yes.
I never have there's nothing that I'm looking for or assuming that I'm going to run into, but just being able to have that opportunity to meet people, despite where they are in their circumstances, just being able to meet them.
That's incredible. What would you say to someone that is in college or trying to figure it out or thinking about, you know, entering into social work? What would be your advice to them?
My advice to them would be to definitely do some research about what social work is, what social working is. You don't have to necessarily know what facet of social work you want to do because there's so many opportunities out there. I mean, you can do school social work. You can do geriatric social work. You can do hospital social work, medical social work. There's just so many opportunities. And so one of the things that I would say is that you definitely have to be a people person. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's easier said than done, but I say this and I'm laughing when I say it, but to be judgmental, you can't be a social worker.
Amen.
You cannot be a social worker and be judgmental. And I'm not saying that in a negative kind of way, but mm-hmm. in certain jobs, you have to be able to, I guess, to turn that on and be like, well, no, that's not what they need. But in social work, you have to be willing to listen. It's one of those occupations or careers that you have to be willing to listen.
Yes. Judgment-free zone.
Judgment-free zone. Absolutely.
Love it. No condemnation.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. All of that. You just can't, not in that field. I mean, if you're really there to serve the people, it's you have to leave those type of things behind.
Listen, I get it. Cause you genuinely have a servant's heart and it just exudes out of you. Like I get very overprotective and territorial of you. So, you know, it's because you have a servant's heart and you're pretty awesome. So I'm like, nobody better not make Mrs. Davis mad. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I mean, our entire family loves you. You are my son.
I love you guys back. I absolutely love you back. One of the things that I was just, and it's funny that this is happening today because in a week, just as my role as a social worker, I started on a Tuesday working with kids from ages, 10 to 13. Mm-hmm. By Tuesday, I'm working with a population of people ages 20 to 27, 30. And by the weekend, I kid you not, all in this week, my oldest client this week was 99 years old. Ooh. And when I tell you about the opportunity to sit with her and just talk and listen was everything to me. And when I got back in my car, I was like, man, God, just thank you for the opportunities to be able to not just serve as one population of people, but to be able to put me in positions where I can meet so many different types of people, right? Yeah. Like she's 99 years old. She's going to be celebrating her 100th birthday, if God be willing, this year. Woo-hoo. And so for her, she didn't need the services that my 10-year-old needed on Monday. Or that my 27-year-old needed yesterday, right? And they're all so different. And again, to be able to just listen and be able to assist them where they are and provide them with what resources they need is just, I think, the icing on the cake. They feel like I'm doing a service to them, but they're actually doing a service to me.
That's incredible. Happy early birthday. Happy 100th early birthday to her. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And she goes, when is your birthday? When I told her, she goes, that's why you're sitting here talking to me, because you're so patient. just to be able to sit and talk to her, I could sit and talk to you all day. But, you know, and again, just the opportunities to be, like you said, a servant's heart.
Yeah.
Yesterday, all she needed from me was conversation. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, just conversation.
I tell you, children and our elders have such a soft spot for me.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'm like, adults, we can fend for ourselves, but our children and our elders, mess with one of them, you see a whole different side of me. Listen, our babies and our elders, and our elders, it's literally so much, like you said, wisdom.
Yeah.
So much life and experience and knowledge. And I feel like we can all do a better job at just recognizing, honoring, affirming, and loving on our elders. Mm-hmm. I try to raise my children and tell them it is the responsibility of the younger generation to care for our older generation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's such a blessing. And every elderly person that we meet, that we see, I tell them, I'm like, don't you walk past no elder and not say nothing.
Yes, right.
You better smile. I don't care if you don't know them. You smile, you acknowledge, you say something.
Yeah, that's it.
Even if you don't get a hello back.
That's right.
You acknowledge, because it's not about you. It's about them.
Yes. And I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, I'm so excited you're here. Okay. So I'm focus, Christina, focus. Whew. I mean, social work, it sounds like it's a profession where burnout and compassion fatigue, it can be real. It can be a lot. Real. So how do you prioritize your self-care?
Pray.
Amen.
Every morning I read, I speak positive affirmations over myself, and most importantly, my self-care. I am very in tune to self-care, probably more than I should be, but I am. But I'll go back to how I start my day with prayer. And my prayer is just whatever you lead me to today, give me the strength and the ability to deal with it in the way that you'd have me to do it. And in all things that I do, let them see you in me. Let me sit down so that you can stand up inside of me, so that they can see me, see you in me. Mm-hmm. And even in the schools, you know, where prayer is taken out of the schools, I tell you, I laugh because of so many of the opportunities that I've had in this role to be able to, not because I initiate the conversations, but a lot of the times the people that I'm talking to, they'll initiate the conversation. And once the door is open, I just go right in it.
Amen.
Start talking, just, you know, start witnessing. And I've that has happened to me more times than I can count. And so, again, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that there is a divine purpose and time for everything. And I feel that way so strongly, because every time there's a situation that God places me in, he definitely shows out and works things out. I'll give you a true story. About 2 weeks ago, one of the clients that I'm working with, we met, and she needed something specific to her needs. And I kid you not, I got in my car and I was like, well, God, you know the situation. And it's about resources, but he say, take it to the Lord in prayer. And so I do. I kid you not, I came home, I got dressed to go to a birthday party. While I was at the party, because I am who I am, I introduce myself and talk to everybody, which is something that I'm working with the young people on doing. You, You just never know who you're going to come in contact with. And so as I'm talking to this young lady, she tells me what she does. And I kid you not, what I needed for one client, I was able to get right there in that conversation from talking to this young lady. And I just literally almost dropped to my knees right in front of her. I was like, you have no idea that I literally just prayed for something that somebody needed. And you have provided that to me. Just like that. And it happens more often. So people say, how do you get resources? Like, I have to tell them, like, listen, I pray.
Yes.
And God really gives me, like, he'll point me right in the right direction to go and find that very resource that the people need.
Yes.
And that's why I start my day off the way I start my day off.
I love it. See, everybody pray. And if you don't know Jesus, listen, email us, let us know.
Yes.
We can introduce you. Listen.
Yes, yes.
That is incredible. It's so exciting and it's so wonderful to hear, because in this day and age and in the way the world is, you know, it's going places. It's the world is doing something.
Mm.
Oh, I'm constantly praying on a consistent minute by minute.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
You do. It's a lot, but it's important that I feel that people really understand the importance of social work and
yes.
change and the power and the impact and, you know, what social workers have to face in the future and what they've had to face in the past and what they're facing in the present right now. And I'm like, what would you tell us that we can help and empower social workers like yourself, so that we can be better and show our love and compassion, you know, and be there to honor you.
Yeah.
And all social workers.
You know, I think as a society, we just, like you, two things you said before, it's about our babies and our elderly population. And just being able to provide better resources to not just them, but a great focus of providing resources to our elderly. And those in between too. So if I could make a cry for anything, it would be for additional resources, especially here in Las Vegas, because we're so transient. Mm-hmm. I call it a melting pot, because you never know what you're going to get here.
Yes.
And so there are so many different needs. And again, we lack the resources to be able to provide to these families. And if so, we can just get to a better place where we're having somebody, you know, we have a lot of people now that are coming up with the ability to be entrepreneurs. And if we can take maybe 15 of those that are wanting to start businesses and kind of cater them to being able to be a resource, whether it be providing items, right, providing services, whatever it is, if we can get to that place, I think that would be very helpful, not to just social workers, but anybody working in the field of helping. Because we lack resources here in Las Vegas. We absolutely do.
Yes. And I'm not, we're not saying that Vegas is the only place that lack resources, because I'm sure there are lots of other states and lots of other countries. But I love what you said about anybody that, you know, entrepreneurs or what you're doing. If it's kind of like see a need, fill a need.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And find a way where what you're doing can help out and give back and, you know, 10%.
Yes, 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 yes.
And it doesn't always have to be finances. Like you said, it could be items.
Your time. You know? Just if you're a beautician and you have time in a day where you can go and provide a service to, you know, and it doesn't have to be anything structured, but you can just provide haircuts or do hair for somebody. Or if you are one of the new entrepreneurs that do a lot of the clothing, if you can order a couple of extra items of clothing for kids during the school, not just the school year, we focus on all that. We have all these big school drives and all those things, and for Christmas and those type of things. But what happens during the summer months or during the winter months, you know, it kind of just falls to the wayside. So I just, like you said, if you see a need, fill a need. And yeah. however you're moved to do that, but there's so many people, so many gifted people in Las Vegas that are able to provide a service. And if we can just all get to that service, the heart of a servant, you know, it says it's always better to give than to receive.
Yes.
And if we can just get back to that, man, you know, we social work would, that would definitely help out social workers.
Yes. Noted. Everybody noted. Yes. I love it. And I'm so excited for all the upcoming stuff. I'm so excited because I know most people don't know, but you bring so much and you plan so well. And you are the type where you think about those summer months.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about what's going to happen when it's not the popular time to donate or contribute or whatnot. So I am excited for the people around you. I'm excited for anyone that is listening, because if it sparks you or empowers you to help or makes, you know, gives you a little thought to, hey, what can I give back? What can I do to help? How can I do it? Please.
Yes.
Literally do it. You can, if you need questions or resources, I mean, there's links there attached to the show notes. There's, you can always go to the website. There'll be ways to contact and connect, but please, and you can do it anonymously too. You ain't got to tell nobody. Listen.
Yes.
You don't. Oh, well, I am so honored, Mrs. Karen Davis. I know you are a busy woman, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. I was like, I promise I won't be too long. I promise.
Listen, it's a deed of honor. Uh-oh. Well, we went as far as we could before he started acting up. But anyway,
He's saying, listen, honor her. He's cheering you on right there. I love it. Listen, we do not hush the doggies in the background, okay? We empower everybody, humans, fur babies. We empower it all. It's so funny. I was actually, I just saw an online video where it's in another country. And forgive me because I don't know if it was in the UK, but the animals are able to just be free. And like, they don't ever worry about having to get shooed out. Like, they can be in the grocery stores or in the train stations. Wow. You know, they don't ever get shooed or chased away. They can sleep. They're comfortable. The city pays for all their medical stuff and everything. And I was like, oh, I love it.
Right.
I'm like, the United States of America, I love y'all, but we got to catch up. We got to catch up in the loving, the kindness part, the free medical health care, you know, just saying.
Yeah, all the above. We got to catch up. Yeah. And, you know, that's, I know, you know, that's a whole nother podcast, right? Like, yes.
Jesus said I had to empower. So I got to be careful. I got to pray some more before we go there. Okay. This is supposed to be empowering. This is out of my comfort zone. So I'm like, whoo, be offended, Jesus. Be offended.
Yes. This is great stuff. This is great stuff.
But you are great. You are amazing. And you know what? Shout out to your husband, your kids, your family, because you being the amazing you, I know that you are connected and tied to such an amazing, wonderful family. Yes. So shout out to them. Yes. Kudos to them. So much love and praise to them. Because listen, we all got a little bit of crazy. So as awesome as you are, I know we a lot to put up with, okay?
Yes, I couldn't do it without them. And they are a huge part of why I do what I do, you know, just being able to lean on them and draw strength from them too. It's a good thing.
Yes, and shout out to the dogs too. I'm sorry. Yes, he got mad at me because I missed him. My bad. I'm sorry.
He thinks he's human, so
yes, we love you too. We love our babies. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much, Mrs. Davis. You know, I think the absolute world of you.
Thank you so much.
Just such an incredible human. You really are. And an even more incredible social worker, just human, servant, heart, everything. Just God's daughter. It's just incredible.
Thank you so much. All glory be to God too for allowing me to be used. I mean, to be able to be used as a vessel. And, you know, and that's the important thing. I know it's not me, because there's been some times and situations, like I told you, man, are you sure that that's what's next to my name?
Yes.
But I know that he gives me the strength and daily to do what I do. And again, I'm so passionate about it. My grandma, before she passed, she was actually a pastor of a church here in Las Vegas. And one of the things that I can recall as a young girl, as a young child, seeing her was providing. When you talk about the services, she, not only did she sew for the people that needed clothes, she cooked. She provided, she was just a giving spirit. And, you know, often I say, well, you know, they always leave parts of them here to fulfill that which they've started and can't finish. And so I know that that part of the mantle was passed down to me to be able to just kind of pick up and go with it, you know. So I used to see her do evangelism work. She would take us as little kids into the homes of the elderly, where she would pray and just spend time talking to them. And I think that, you know, from a little girl, it's, you know, when it's embedded in you, it's embedded in you.
Yes.
And so I couldn't have gotten away from it if I wanted to.
Well, we're glad. I'm glad. Thank you, Grandma. I'm glad. And you know, because you know you mentioned middle schoolers, and I'm not trying to get in trouble. Yeah. So what would you love to say to your middle schoolers who are listening? Because you know I'm not trying to get in trouble with my middle schoolers.
Listen, I absolutely love you all. I am excited about when we do return for the next school year. I have some amazing, when I say amazing sixth graders, I have some amazing sixth graders. And I've told them, so they know who they are, that I'm expecting big things from them, because they are able to fill those shoes. And so we're not going to sit down on our gifts and many talents. We're going to use them and get busy, because we have a lot of work to do. Man, we had a really strong year this year, and they really were the push. They were the wind beneath my wings to make me want to go and do more. Because I was like, this is just a different group, man. this is different. And so when you talk about empowering, you know, we often don't realize that. Even as adults, we need to be empowered. And that group of sixth graders have done just that for me. They have empowered me to do more and to not get comfortable in where we are right now, but to keep focused on moving forward. And so thank you. Shout out to you for being a part of everything that we were able to accomplish this year. You know, I've told you many times how appreciative of you that I am. And I go back to the day that I met you. You know, you just never know. And it's so funny, because I hadn't even planned to be there that morning. I was actually scheduled to be there the day before, the day after, but not that day. And so again, you know, when you are praying and asking for guidance, you know, God will put you in the right place at the right time. And I am so forever thankful that I was able to meet you.
Me too. Because listen, Jesus knew. Okay. Yes. Jesus knew.
You knew I needed you more than you needed me.
No. I saw you, and Jesus said, go. I ran to you. Lance was like, Mom, you're just going to walk him to rant. Yes, I am. Yes.
Listen, I'm so glad you followed the guidance, man, because it's awesome. And I am absolutely looking forward to being able to have you as a support system for us these next couple of years. We say couple, because even when he leave, I'm not leaving y'all. So.
But really, really, thank you so much for being here, for your time, for your efforts, for your energy. I appreciate you to the fullest and beyond. And I know all the middle schoolers and all the elderlies and just every human, individual, family, community that you help out. I know you are such a blessing to each and every one of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, this has been great.
Thank you.
And listeners, we appreciate you. Listen, if you stayed this long through all of our stuff, listen, like I tell you every time, I appreciate you. Your ears are always the missing piece. You are awesome and excited. And so until next time, y'all, stay blessed, stay empowered, and go empower someone. Huge shout out to you for listening. If you enjoyed today's empowering talk,
Please follow, subscribe, or head over to cphughes.com to make a donation. Now remember, you're unique, so shine your unique light and do your part. Go empower someone.